this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret. When I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'm not who I am.
Good morning. Welcome home. Is it? I love it. Thank you. Hey, a couple things off script first. I have a couple cards that I want to read to you. Dear friends, thank you for your faithful, generous support on our ministry with Teen Missions. You're such a blessing. We trust and pray you're staying warm this winter and that the Lord is opening many doors and opportunities to share the love of Christ. And that is from Tom and Linda Mahar. They're our missionaries with Teen Missions International and to Cameroon and African countries. And so we are grateful to hear from them. And how many know that that is my sister, my big sister? Yeah. And then this is a letter that card that kind of came to the ladies' Bible study, but I feel that the church should hear this. So, to my sisters in Christ at PCBC, I'm so grateful for my prayer warriors at PCBC. Your thoughts and prayers brought me peace and comfort. They were a source of strength and encouragement during the most difficult time in my life. Thank you for lifting me up. God was so very good to me during the cancer journey. I finished up with my chemo on September 4th, and that and the scan show no cancer. Praise the Lord. I have a ways to go before I'm considered in remission. Therefore, I covet your continued prayers as we trust God in the days ahead. And then there's a whole back section, but I just wanted to let you know that this is, and she puts in here Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I give thanks to my God in every remembrance of you always, praying with you with joy for all. That is Kim Rimmer. And many of you remember Kim Rimmer. For those of you that are fans of the Bucks County Herald, it was brought to my attention that there is an article featuring Carol Cheshire, our missionaries. And Carol does likeness and artwork with pets and photos and things like that. And so I made some copies of this, and I put them out there. So if you want to get a hold of this and look at it, and it even tells about how that they go to Senegal and how that they started out on the mission field in Africa. And I just thought, isn't it great to have good news in the news that talks about the Lord? So I just wanted to make sure you get that. For those of you that have been following Glenn's wonderful example of always getting my partners in prayer, I had a senior moment. I was reminded that I did not put out a partners last week, so I have copies of last week's partners and message if you want that. And if you want all the juicy details of things that I don't share in my message, you can go and get those. And then I have the copy for this week. Make sure you grab those. I've been giving book recommendations as we've been doing our series on abiding, John 15. And this week, I want to, in relationship to the idea of prayer and abiding prayer, R.A. Torrey. Have you heard that name? He was a pastor of our day and age. He has since passed away. How to Pray, a very little booklet on prayer. And he features abiding and walking in the Spirit and the necessity of prayer in our lives. And then another book, how many of you remember and heard of Hudson Taylor, the missionary who founded the China Inland Mission, right? This is a book that I've never read before, but came across since I've been looking up books on the topic of abiding. And it was written by Hudson Taylor's son and daughter-in-law. And it's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, Secret of Prayer and Abiding. And so it's a classic biography that I want to just let you guys know is out there. If you want to enrich some special credit for abiding in Christ, if you want to enrich your prayer life, devotional life, growing life, there are two recommendations that can go along as I pass on these recommendations of book reading. All right, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Just to let you know, Glenn's memorial service has been changed to a private family event. And it's going to be later. So the idea of having a service this Saturday has been canceled, just so you know. And we just want to honor the family because they have some needs that they've expressed and just want to keep them in prayer. And we can understand that as a family, right? So then the next thing to remind you of is the 24/7 prayer week that is going to be coming up. Every year we have done the Moravian prayer meeting, and that's when you put out a sign-up sheet, which we already have in back. It's on that table under the tracks where you can sign up for a daytime slot, hour slot to pray. And we sign up and fill the whole thing so that we have people praying all around the clock. And then the week of Palm Sunday all the way to Easter Sunday, for that eight-day period, from Sunday to Sunday is 8 days, not seven, we pray faithfully all through that time, and then we expect God to do some great and wonderful things. I want to encourage you, if you've never done that before, that you can do it, and it is so enriching. It is so significant. I've had people say, this is probably the one most significant event of our church that we do every year. And so I want to get you on board for that, and so make sure that you sign up. Elders and deacons will be meeting today after the service. Calling on those who enjoy singing. Do you enjoy singing? Oh, honesty. I would say that was a beautiful answer. But yeah, that's true. If you're interested in singing at Easter time, PCBC chorale rehearsals are going to start, and they will begin Tuesdays or Wednesdays starting March 11th or 12th from 7 to 8:15 p.m. It's for all ages 14 to 100. The evening will be chosen soon based on singers' availability. If you would like to participate, please see Sheila. And then the children's choir will begin their rehearsals for an Easter special music. And they're going to do that during the children's church, March 9th. So parents, please encourage your children to participate. Send them back to the classroom for rehearsal. And then after rehearsal, the older children can return to the sanctuary. We look forward to that. How many of you love our fellowship times? Woo! Yeah. It's time for the first ever PCBC chili cook-off. Okay, so this is what's going to happen. You're going to make your favorite chili recipe and bring it on Sunday, March 23rd for the fellowship meal. And we will vote for the best contributions, and there will be prizes. Consider the following chili recipe ideas: traditional, mixed up meat, white chicken, vegetarian, spicy, extra mild. Oh, you know what's not on here? Piping hot, blow your head off. I'm looking for that. I'm serious. So this is put together by the Springtown Small Group, and others will provide salad, sides, bread, desserts, and beverages. But if you want to be part of the chili cook-off, see Sheila Mills so that we can get this organized. So I'm looking forward to this. And I have been saying, and I was talking to Sheila, and she was sharing, that they're going to get like little cups, multiple little cups, so you can have multiple tastes of chili. And I've been saying the soup and stew, that, you know, you get one bowl, and you got 20 soups. What's wrong with that? You know what we need? We need muffin pans. And then you can put in each muffin pan and have all the soups. Well, we're going to fix this for the chili cook-off. We're going to make sure you're able to get, I got an applause. Woo-hoo! We're going to make sure that you get that. All right, and then also be praying for Grief Share, which is every Sunday. We're starting our second meeting today from 3 to 4:30, and we have some new people from our community that are attending. So please be in prayer. We are excited that God is using us in those ways. All right. Would you stand a moment? And I'm just going to open us in a quick word of prayer, and we're going to have celebration of joy in the Lord today. Gracious Father, we do come We thank you that you are with us. We don't have to find your presence. Your presence is already here. We thank you that you're a great God who loves us. We thank you for Jesus who saved us. And we thank you for the Spirit of God who indwells in us as believers and is working and changing our lives. So, Father, today as we worship you, bless us and help us to have joy in the Lord. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
That gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 1:9.
I saw the light.
back to Harvey Cedar's days. Wow, that's great. Have a seat, guys. Do you know there's a story about a lighthouse that the captain of an important vessel was coming into the port, and he saw another ship in front of him, and he said, "You move your ship to such and such a degree." And the reply came back, "No." And he said, "You don't know who I am. I'm the captain of the USS whatever, and you have to move your course." And the reply came back, "No." And he goes, "Well, I'm the captain." And he said, "Well, I'm the lighthouse keeper." Okay, that is God. That is God in our lives, really. You know what I mean? When we pray, when we worship God, we need to line up with the lighthouse, right? Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me? Our blessed God and Father of all mercy, we continue to, you continue to pour out your benefits upon us. And so, Father, we pause and we exalt you and we thank you that you are our good Father. Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, "You are the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One, who says this, I live in that high and holy place where those with contrite, humble spirits dwell, and I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts." And so, Father, we acknowledge that you are the commander, the lighthouse of our lives. And, Father, we want to walk in your spirit, and we just ask that you would deepen your work in our lives. Oh, to be a church that abides in Christ. Oh, to be a people that depend on Jesus for our everything. Father, we thank you that Jesus not only is the master and conqueror over our sin, but he is the freedom giver so that we can walk out of the old ways of life and walk into the newness of life under the precious blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would be with many on our prayer list that are sick and going through hard times. Father, I think of Nelson, and I pray that you would continue his healing as he has been being treated for this cancer that was taken from him. And Father, I pray that you would also be with our missionaries. I thank you for the Cheshires. I thank you for the Mahars. I pray, Lord, that you would keep working through their lives. And Father, just as we have felt a change of temperature this week, and we heard the bird songs, and some of us even noticing little daffodil tips poking out of the ground, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would bring a season of change for this church, PCBC, along the 611 corridor. We pray that souls will be saved, that we would be abiding followers in Christ, and because that's your purpose for us. So make us a people who draw closer to you, even like the old hymn that I heard about that says, "Holy Spirit, gracious Spirit, dwell with me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in me reveal, and with actions bold and meek for Christ, my Savior, speak." So Jesus, teach us that we are your servants. Empty us of ourselves. We pray in Jesus' true and wonderful, bright lighthouse name, and all God's people said, amen. For our scripture reading today, I have a little bit of a difference for us. What I did, the passages in John from chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 are often called the Olivet Discourse, because it was the private teachings that just the disciples heard as they walked with Jesus from the upper room all the way up to the garden. And there was a lot in that teaching which we take for abiding with our verses. So what I want us to do is everybody on this side, real quick, look over, not at the screens, but look over at John 15, verse 5, which is our first verse. So everybody on this side who can see it, I want you to read it with me out loud. Ready? "I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay, so everybody on this side, our second verse is John 15, 16. And I want you to read it louder than these guys. All right, here we go. You did
not choose me,
but notice the end of that verse. It says, whatever you ask, that's prayer. The Father in my name, he may give you. There are several verses all through the discourse on prayer, and that's our Bible reading now. So I'm going to start. We're going to do it responsively. I'm going to start with the Bible reading, and these are the passages on prayer that Jesus was teaching his disciples. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you remain
in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, and that fruit will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. In that day, until now, ask. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And for you, remains in you, but as his anointing, and that's our word abide. Now, this is a prayer that I put together based on those scriptures. So let's read this together. Heavenly Father, we realize that our thoughts need to be aligned to your thoughts. Our hearts need to be reflecting your heart. And our minds need to become the very mind of Christ. When we are living this way, our prayers can say with honesty and faith, thy will, not ours, be done. May we always pray into your will so that whatever we ask may be done to honor you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship.
Would you please stand if you're able?
Calls me from a world.
Be seated, and children are dismissed for children's church.
Please turn in your Bibles to John 15. We're going to talk about the secret of abiding prayer. The secret of abiding prayer. I know that 100%. Every one of us would admit that we are not experts in prayer, right? Where there's always room for improvement. And for some of us, we have a lot. needing to do in our lives. Isn't it true? Have you ever heard the phrase, prayer is the key? What is the prayer the key to? Ask yourself that question. What is prayer the key to? Have you ever wanted to grow in your prayer life so that you had the prayer life like a giant spiritual saint like George Mueller or missionary Hudson Taylor that I mentioned? How do you get a prayer life like that? Just a little reminder of this picture that you see in front of you is an anonymous rendition of George Mueller. Who was George Mueller? Let me share with you a little bit about who he was and what his story was about. George Mueller was born in September 1805, and he died in 1898. He was a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He was one of the founders of the Plymouth Brethren movement at that time. He cared for 10,024 orphans during his lifetime and provided educational opportunities for the orphans to the point that he was accused by some of raising the poor above their natural situation in British life. Well, praise the Lord for that. He established 117 schools which offered Christian education to more than 12,000 individuals. 120,000 individuals, I'm sorry. He was known for miraculous answers to his prayer. One well-known documented case is that his children were sitting in the orphanage and he sat them down and he said, "Lord, thank you for our daily bread," but they had no food that morning. And suddenly there was a crash outside the orphanage, and this is a documented true story, that the bakery wagon crashed, and the guy knocked on the door and said, "Do you want this bread? I can't do anything with it." And so he fed the entire orphanage on a wreck. I mean, think about that. Wouldn't you love that kind of prayer life? I mean, to be able to be, "Oh, Lord, oh, I need this," or we have this as a church. "Lord, would you please just provide?" And all of a sudden there's a knock at the door and there's your money to pay the bill. Have you ever had those kind of experiences? There are people that have had glimpses of experiences like that in our prayer lives. And when that happens to us, I call them blessed surprises, because it's just God knocking our socks off. And I love when God shows up and he knocks our socks off and he answers prayer like that. Because the alternative is to live a life that's full of fear and frustration and disconnectedness. And abiding is about being connected with Christ. And one of the things that we need to know, and the main issue of what we're going to be doing, is that we're going to be seeing that the nearer we are to Christ and abiding in him, that our prayer lives will grow and be fruitful and explode. How many of us don't want that? I know I do. I know that I want more blessings in my prayer life. And we can all have it. That's just it. There's not some people will get it. But the Bible is telling us through Jesus' scriptures on prayer in the book of John that we read this morning, that every one of us can ask and receive that our joy might be full. That everyone can ask in prayer. He even said to his disciples, "Up until this time, you've asked nothing in my name. If you'll ask and receive, then your joy will be full." You're going to get it. You're going to be able to receive the answers to your prayer. Wow, that's just amazing to me. That just amazes my heart. And I love the story of a little boy who was in a Sunday school class, and his teacher, Miss Mary, was teaching about prayer, and she showed the kids this picture of George Mueller. And she says, "This is George Mueller, and look at this man. He's praying for his daily bread, and God supplies and answers all our prayers." And the little boy started to tear up. And she thought, "Oh, I'm such a good teacher. I wonder why Johnny's crying. Oh, Johnny, don't cry. Do you want to pray like that man?" And little Johnny surprisingly said, No. Why don't you want to pray like George Mueller? Because he doesn't have peanut butter. I don't want to have a prayer where I don't get peanut butter from my bread. A lot of Christians are like that when it comes to our prayer lives. We look at what Jesus says about us having powerful prayer lives, and we want that, but then we throw in kind of a whole bunch of our own desires. How do we learn to pray without messing it up with our own desires? That's what we're going to study this morning, and that's why I have us ready. The whole idea is that we are going to capture abiding nearness in the presence of God, and it starts with prayer. And as we pray, it has a direct correlation to praying the Word of God. So we're gonna see the necessity of prayer. We're gonna see the practice of prayer, and we're gonna see the privilege of prayer through three ways. We're gonna see that prayer helps us to abide closer to Jesus. We're gonna see, secondly, that our prayer needs to be soaking in the Word of God, so that we know our prayers are going to be asked rightly. And then thirdly, we need to walk in the Spirit so we can see our prayers acted out and happen. And every one of us can have that powerful of a prayer life. And I hope that I have just given you a little bit of taste of, I want that in Jesus. I really do. So Father, as we look quickly in your word, I pray that you would give us this taste, this longing, this unctuous desire, this sweet tooth, this desire for peanut butter on our breads prayer. And so that we can grow stronger and more confident and more sure in our prayer lives. So that we're not just a church that prays, but we are a church who are living and abiding off of prayer. And what a great thing that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. All right. So we're going to look first at the necessity of prayer. So look at 1 John 15. And remember the verses that we read in our scripture reading this morning, and how that they were peppered and scattered all through chapter 14. Chapter 15 and chapter 16. But I wanted to just focus on verse 7. So if you put your eyes down in the context of the chapter, Jesus says he's the true vine and God's the husbandman or the vine dresser, and that every branch needs to abide in him, and abiding is staying closer, staying connected, and staying cleaner to Jesus. And so this is what he says about prayer. And the necessity of prayer is that we exercise our power of prayer. We do it all the time. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. You know, the first thing that we have to think about is the condition that is here. Notice the first condition of the phrase. If you, or unless you abide, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you do those two things of staying close to Jesus, abiding in him, being near him, and if you are near to his word and allow his word to be speaking to you, if you do that is the condition. You can't have a growing prayer life if you don't meet the condition. And so we know prayer, basically, real hard definition, is prayer is just talking to God. But a lot of us, we don't pray for a whole bunch of reasons. We have a whole lot of objections and a whole lot of reasons and obstacles that keep us from praying. And I just want to share a few of them with you. Obstacle number one, a lot of people, I just don't feel like praying. Is that you? Have you ever been the kind of person, I'm just not feeling it. I just don't feel like I'm a good prayer. I just don't feel it's my thing. I just don't feel like praying today because I'm discouraged, I'm depressed, I'm worried, I'm frustrated, I'm sick. What do you tell your family when your obstinate husband, who obviously has an infection of some sort, and he's acting like a baby sitting in his chair, and what do you say to him? I don't care if you feel like it or not, go to the what? Doctor. When we don't feel like praying, the answer is go to Jesus and pray. I mean, plain and simple. Even if you're sick and, oh, I don't need it, I don't feel it, I don't need to go to the doctor. Well, you know, the fact that you're sick and you're not praying is the proof need that you need to be praying. There is an old scholar, his name is Scroggie, and I'll never forget, he told his students this, and I'll never forget it because it's always stuck with me. When you don't feel like praying, then pray. Well, that's easy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. But if you don't feel like doing it, you pray. If you needed money, would you just sit in the chair, oh, I need money? Would you? Well, some of you do, but shame on you. But no, what would you do? Get up, you go check your wallet. If it's not in your wallet, you go to the bank. You get the money out of the bank. You use the money to pay the bill. It's not rocket science. It's just plain pragmatic. You pray if you don't feel like praying. So that's the first obstacle to prayer. Here's the second one. Have you ever heard this excuse? Well, I don't have time to pray. I forget. Maybe you used it this morning. Maybe you used it all week. I just don't have time to pray. I have so much to do. I have to get going. We're like the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. You know, I don't have enough time. I got to get busy. And we're struggling and we're out there and we're running all over the place. And listen, you will never have time to pray if you don't make the time. It's just these lazy excuses that we use. What you need to do is you need to just take the time to pray. If you are a hurried person, someone once said that God is not the author of hurry, Satan is, because that's his distraction for you. If he can keep you from abiding in the Lord, if he can keep you from praying, if he can make you forget and keep you occupied with the things of this world, which he does all the time, he's happy. He's content because you're not using the spiritual weapon against him. And you're not trusting and strengthening yourself in the Lord, because prayer does that. Prayer is like a little child. If you had a baby, and as the baby develops and gets older, turns into a toddler, but the baby never talked to you, you would be concerned. Why? Because you want the relationship to grow. You want it to mature. You want it to develop. And that's what prayer does. Prayer is our talking to God and expressing who we are and what we have and what our needs are to him. And then the word of God is God talking back to us to let us know how to find those needs met in him and to find out who he is and what he's all about. So the first obstacle is, oh, I don't feel like praying. Second obstacle, I don't have time to pray. Third obstacle, I can't focus when I pray. Okay, I think that's everybody's problem. Let's not just say it's me and nobody else. No. If you think that Pastor Seltzer was just woke up with the DNA ability to pray, then you're absolutely goofball. Because I had to learn to pray. And I'm still learning to pray. I still haven't gotten a master in prayer. I'm still praying to my master because I need help and I need him in so many different ways. And you know, I learned when I was about 16 years old that the best way to learn to pray and to focus in prayer from a gentleman who used to pull me aside on prayer meeting night. How many remember Wednesday night prayer meetings? Okay. Yeah, that's when the church would get together and actually pray, and some churches would gossip, but not our church. we would get together and pray. But on Wednesday night, the teens would always go off and they'd play ping pong instead of pray. And I remember this godly gentleman. His name was Ernie Brooks, and he was a million years old, even though I was 16. And he would go, Corbin, come here. And, yeah, but I'm going to play ping pong, you know. And he'd be like, no, you sit and pray with me. You know, but they're playing ping pong. You know, they're doing the fun thing. But I'm so glad he did that. Because the best way to learn to pray is to pray with somebody who knows how to pray. And that's how you learn. It's like a sport. It's like an activity. It's like doing your job right, right? You get with the people who have an in with God and are really good prayers, and you learn from them by praying with them. And we have to be humble enough to do that. And if we're not humble enough to do that, we'll never learn to pray. And I love the fact that Ernie used to sweat when he would pray. In fact, he'd make me get down on the hard floor on my knees in front of the whole church. And nobody else in the church, they were all sitting in their little compartment pews. But he made me get down on my knees in front of everybody. If I made you come up here and I was like, okay, come on, Wyatt, we're going to pray. Come on, buddy, right here. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? That was Ernie. And Ernie did it, and I'm so thankful he did it, because it was what broke through my prayer life for the first time in my life. Prayer wasn't just saying a little ditty. It wasn't, before I go eat something, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for his food. Okay, I prayed. It was learning to pray. He loved Jesus so much. He would sit there and he'd start crying. He'd be like, Jesus, they spat on you. They kicked you. They hated you. They And I'm like, man, whoa. How do I pray like that? And you learn by doing. And that's how you learn to pray. And there's no secret to it. You just learn to pray by doing. So if you have a hard time focusing when you pray, you know what Ernie taught me? Because I told him that. I said, I don't know what to pray for. I'm afraid that my words are going to be wrong, or somebody's going to hear me and laugh at me. And he goes, I'm not going to laugh at you. He used to say, you pray as if Jesus is the only one you're praying to in the room, and you're praying to your friend. And it doesn't matter what anybody else hears. Yeah, but they're still going to hear me. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a verse. So I took a verse from Scripture. And let's say it's this verse. Let's say it's verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done to you. Okay. He said, take two words out of the verse. I'll take the word abide and ask. And then he said, think of two prayer requests and attach them to the word. Okay. And then when it's your turn to pray out loud, instead of spending half an hour, you know, you used to pray around in a circle, and you were like 10th down the line, and people are praying, and it's getting closer, and you're like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't want to sound stupid. 3? Oh, no, 3. I'm 3 away. I don't know what to say yet. Have you ever been there? Okay, I've been there a million times. And he would say, Just have a verse, open your Bible, flip your Bible open, find a verse, look down and find a verse, and then take two words out of the verse and just pray about two things related to those two words. And that's all you have to do. Don't think of anything fancy. Don't go, oh, omnipotent, wonderful God above. Don't do that. Just look at the two verses. Okay, so if I look at verse 7 and it's coming around, oh, two more people to go, two more people, one more person to go. Okay, God, here we go, out the gate, here we go. Dear God, I need you to abide in me. And I pray for, because you tell me to ask, I pray for my grandmother who's really sick. Amen. And that's what I would do. Can you do that? Yes, we can all do that. That is the secret to doing it. I don't know how to pray. I don't want to pray. That's the fourth obstacle. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. Well, listen, it's just as easy as find somebody. If you want to grow in your prayer life, find somebody, pray with them, and just take a verse of scripture, take two words, pray two things related to those words, however it comes out, doesn't matter. And if you have to say in your prayer, God, I don't know the words to say, but here they are. I was telling Lori this morning, I had a deacon that used to pray with me, and after I would pray, he would feel so inadequate. He goes, "Dear Jesus, I did what Pastor Corbin just said." And I never rebuked him because he was struggling with the, I don't know what to pray for. Listen, if that's you, here's what you do. You just take the word of God. You just pray with people you know that are good prayers so you'll be a good prayer, and let yourself off the hook. Pray, look at a verse, pray for two things in the verse. Only pray for two things. Don't pray around the world for every missionary and for everybody and bless everybody and bless all the missionaries and bless China and bless, you know, how we get all locked up in there. And then you get those people who pray all the way around the world for 10 minutes and you're asleep. And trust me, I've fallen asleep in prayer. And I remember falling asleep in prayer in Benton, Pennsylvania in our church. Because we were in the nursery, and it must have been 85 in the nursery. And I fell asleep, and guess what? I woke up, and everybody had finished praying. They were all sitting there while I was asleep. And I woke up, and they were like, "Wake up, it's time to go home." I said, "Well, you're not going anywhere until I pray." I'm glad I did that. Because that is abiding in prayer. If you have to meet the condition, if you pray, you got to pray. So that's the first condition. Here's the second one. The command is ask. When you're praying, you're asking your Heavenly Father for something. And remember, you're asking because you're in a relationship. Just like when your kids ask you for things, just like when your grandkids ask you for things, there are certain things that they're going to ask for that are not good for them. And you know what the answer to that prayer is going to be? No. Is that wrong? No, it's wonderful. Somebody's always said the answer to prayer are three things. Yes, no, and maybe. Maybe later. And I think God does that to us. God is either going to say yes, because that's good for you. No, because you don't know what you're asking for. Or maybe, well, not right now, but maybe future. So don't give up praying. You have to ask, because that's the commandment that we have. And here's the third thing. So you have the condition. If you pray, you got to pray. Secondly, you ask. You got to ask God for something. And because you're his child, that's why you're asking. You've got a relationship with him. Here's a little off rabbit trail. Somebody asked me this question last week. Does God answer the prayer of an unbeliever? I think that's an awesome question. And you know the answer? No. If an unbeliever says, "I'm praying for you," I feel bad because you're just talking to the wind. Because the only reason prayer is answered is because you have a relationship through Jesus Christ with the Almighty Father, and you are his child. And God does not answer prayer unless you're his spiritual child in the relationship. You say, "Would you have Bible verses that prove that?" I absolutely do. Proverbs 28, verse 19. It says that, God turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even the prayers of those that are an abomination. In other words, if you're an unsaved person and you're asking for things in God's name for Jesus from the Heavenly Father, but you don't have the relationship with him, he will not answer the prayer. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In other words, if you are a child of God, he will hear your prayer. If you're not a child of God and you're living your life in sin, he will not answer your prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18, David wrote, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that means also for an unsaved person. Listen, I was always told, the first prayer that God ever hears is, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then after that, he hears all your prayers. So the certainty of is this. Look at verse 7 at the very end. He says, if you ask, I will, it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. Well, does that mean that I can ask God for a new Cadillac? You can ask him. He'll say no. Or wait. Or yes. I don't know. But he will answer your prayer. See, there's a difference between God answering our need and God answering our greed. Because our desires are mostly moved by greediness and not by what we need. But God is too loving and too good to give you what you don't need. And so that's how you learn to pray. That's how you learn to pray. And John 14, verse 13 says this. Why don't we just look back at that verse real quick. John 14, verse 13. Flip the page back. 14, verse 13. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay, so there's certainty that our prayers can be answered when we pray in the name of Jesus. So here's our leading principle. Abiding believers pray unceasingly. It's like breathing. We never stop praying. We're always praying all the time because we need God. And you don't ever stop talking to God. Pray as if you're talking and listening to God as a person. Pray as if Jesus is your friend. Pray as if Jesus is the most important person that you could ever walk with. Abiding carries with it the promise of answered prayer because you're staying close and praying with Jesus. And I found this really great quote this morning from Charles Spurgeon. One of the first results then of our abiding union with Christ will be the certain exercise of prayer. Ye shall ask, he said. If others neither seek nor knock nor ask, you at any rate shall do so. Those who keep away from Jesus do not pray. You know what? If you're not praying, guess what? You're keeping away from Jesus. That is the worst possible thing you could do if you're a believer. Because when you keep away from Jesus, don't think for a minute the enemy's going to keep away from you. Don't think for a minute you're going to have victory over your walk and victory over sin in your life. You wonder why you got that problem? Because you didn't pray. You're not staying close to Jesus. A little bit for us. So we got to practice prayer. Prayerfully soaking in the word of God to obey him. Remember when he said back in the beginning of verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's this idea of being in the word of God that's very important. In verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my prove to be my disciples. You want proof that you're a believer and you're in God's word, you're going to see your prayers answered. Look at verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you love God, you're going to want to be in his word. You're going to want to be near him. Take your Bibles, keep your finger in John, and go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. That's all the way back, the little books of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So if you go to the back, page 1076 in my Bible. I want you to see something. When you soak in the word of God, you know what God gives you? He gives you confidence. Look at this. Now, this is the confidence that we have, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wow, are you saying that if I pray in the will of God and according to his word, what does it mean? What does it mean to pray according to the word of God or the name of God? You hear somebody say, I pray it in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Well, let me answer the question for you. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It means to be consistent with who he is, his character. That you're not going to pray, God, I want $1 million and I want to win the lottery. We were talking We were talking in our Bible study about pleasure and how pleasure can rob us. And do you know that Jason Quintel, remember Jason, family, our teacher? He still teaches our Bible study on Saturdays because we Zoom him in. And we just love it, don't we, guys? It is just awesome. So he's telling us, telling us two things, but he was telling us that he was at the barber shop getting his hair cut, and the barber asked him, "How are you doing today?" And he said, "Well, I'm having a pretty great day because I love the Lord, and I know that he loves me, and he hears me." And it opened up this question from this young man, what do you mean? And he had an opportunity just to talk about God. And this young man was a Jewish guy who, he wasn't a Jewish guy. He had a Jewish name, and he was talking about prayer and all that. And Jason goes, "Why don't you come to church?" And guess where he's going to church today? With Jason. And God does these great things when you learn to free yourself, because you know who he is, and you know his character, and you know what he's like, and you know what the word says about him. You know, when we're singing praises to God, and we're saying, "God, you're all powerful, and God, you're mighty, and God, you're my lighthouse, and God, you're in control, and God, you will hold me fast." We're saying we know from God's word that God will never be anything other than what he says he is. He's holy, he's just, he's good. And so to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray with the confidence that you know who it is you're praying to. He's your heavenly Father. You're praying in according to character. And here's the second thing. You're praying in his full authority. You remember those old movies that maybe you used to watch? I love those old castle movies, you know, with Tyrone. Can't even remember his name now. Powell. And you know, "Open up in the name of the king." The soldiers would be there and knocking on the door. What they were saying is that based on the authority that I serve the king, who is the highest authority and law in the land, you have to open this door, right? When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are praying under the full authority of Jesus. It's like, open up in the name of Jesus. Open up in the name of the King. And so when we pray with that full assurance of authority, what that does is that gives us confidence. Do you remember this poor little girl? She's standing up in front of the board, in front of the whole class. Teacher says, "Solve the problem on the board." And everybody's watching you. Or you're like the little boy on the left. You're a little pipsqueak, but you got muscle arms. Why? Because you have confidence, because the things you're praying for, your prayers are going to be answered because Jesus promises it. And when you soak in the word of God, you have that confidence because you know God and his word. One of the best ways to grow in your prayer life is keep soaking in the word of God. And so here's our gleaning principle. We can't abide in Jesus without obeying him. Abiding believers take time in God's word to adjust our desires to his. Do you know there's a verse in the psalm that says that he gives us our heart's desire? That's not a verse that means he'll give you whatever you want. It means that as you are soaking like David did in the character and in the authority of God, and as he changes your heart, he changes your desires to be his desires, so that when you're praying, everything you're praying for in the name of Jesus is going to be answered because you're praying in his desires. Here's an example. You have a friend who needs Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. You can, based on the character of God and based on his authority, know that if you pray for that guy to get saved, that God will work in his heart. It might not happen immediately, but don't give up. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. Keep knocking like your heart and life depend on it. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't get too busy. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And God is going to work greatly in your life. I had a little bit more that I wanted to say on this. When we spend time with him and allow his priorities, passions, and purposes to motivate us, we'll ask for the things that are closest to his heart. There was a little boy, and he was with his mom, and they were at the store, and let's just say his name was Charlie. Well, let's just call him my grandson, okay? But this grandson isn't old enough to be this Charlie. But so Charlie goes to the store, and it's approaching Christmas, and he sees this toy, and he picks up the toy, and all he's been doing is talking about, I want a stagecoach. I want a stagecoach. So he sees this toy on the shelf, and it's a little stagecoach, and it's little, and it has a horse, and it has the wagon wheels, and it's just really cool looking. And he takes that toy, and he marches up to his mom, and he goes, I want this toy for Christmas. Mom said, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. No, you don't understand. I want this toy. I want this toy. I don't want any other toy. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. I want this toy. Okay, okay. We'll see, we'll see. No, you don't understand, Mom. I want this toy. And if you don't give me this toy, I'm not going to be happy. Okay, we'll see. So Christmas comes around, and his brother had watched all this, his older brother. And little Charlie, he knows. That's it. That's my gift. He grabs the gift. Oh, I know what it is. It's my stagecoach. He pulls it out, and lo and behold, it is the stagecoach that he gave a little bit of a perturbing tantrum on. And his brother goes, are you stupid? And Charlie goes, well, what are you talking about? Well, if you hadn't insisted on that stagecoach, you blew it. Because I happen to know that Mom bought you a huge stagecoach with lights and buttons and everything. And she took it back and exchanged it for the one you wanted. Are you stupid? But you know what? Sometimes we pray like that. Oh, but God, I want this instead of asking what his will is. And we miss out on a greater blessing that God can give us in our lives if we would just pray according to his will instead of insisting on what we need. How many times when we got an answer to prayer, was it probably less than it could have been? Because we're not trusting his will and soaking in the word. You might have gotten an answer to prayer in your life, or you might get answers to prayer, but they don't have to be as grand and as wonderful as God could surprise you with if you would just soak in the word of God to know what his will is for you. And here's the last one, the privilege of prayer. Prayerfully walk and stay in step with the Holy Spirit. I want you to take, go from this passage from John, and I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John 2. So again, flip back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 27. And we read it this morning. And I'm going to start in verse 26 to kind of give us an idea. Because John is talking about letting the truth of God abide in us and what will happen in our lives. Verse 26, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Because there's a world out there of deception, and the world will do everything it can to just kind of deceive you to keep from praying. And in verse 27 it says, but the anointed one, the anointing, and it's the idea of the anointed one. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit here. But the anointing which you have received from Christ, from him, abides in you. When we as believers accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, who lives in us? The Holy Spirit. And you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, there are going to be times in your life where the Spirit of God will teach you, not people. And he goes, and you do not have any need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you, as the anointed one, as the Holy Spirit teaches you in your heart all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you will abide, it says in the King James, in Christ. You will grow prayerfully if you remain abiding and trusting and yielded to the Spirit of God that's in you and to as he teaches you. So I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 because this is a practical verse. Galatians is in the prison epistles, kind of in between John and 1 John. And the New Testament's broken down by larger books to smaller books, starting with Paul. Romans is the first one. 1 and 2 Corinthians, the second one. Galatians is the next one. And Galatians chapter 5 says something that is really beautiful. He's talking about living our life. Look at verse 16. I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to give you a little help with what this is saying. And I just lost my screen. There it is. There we go. This word walk is the idea of a habitual lifestyle. It's the idea of doing something again and again and again. Just like when you walk, when you're a little kid, you learn to crawl, then you get up and you learn to walk, and then you learn to walk for the rest of your life until you get older, and then you got to get a cane, and you know how it is from there. But if you want to scare your pastor to death, just threaten to buy him ballroom dancing lessons. Because I'm not a dancer, trust me. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I am not a dancer. When Molly had me in terror for over a year prior to her wedding, because, Daddy, you got to dance with me. I don't dance. I couldn't get out of it. Had to do it. And then they went and recorded it. And now they pull that thing out and they tease me. And I'm just not a dancer. I just don't have what it takes. You know, in dancing, when you do ballroom dancing, you got two partners. And one partner has to lead and one partner has to follow. And you could almost replace the word in Galatians with the word dance. If you want to dance in the Spirit, then you have to follow the Spirit. So often in our prayer lives, we need to learn to be able to, the things that we're doing, the things that we're thinking, the things that we're acting upon throughout our day, we need to kind of look at it like a dance, that the Holy Spirit's the lead partner, and he wants to take us through moves throughout our day. He might even do a little swish for us in our lives, and he wants to direct our steps. Remember how we say, trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and he will make our paths straight. He will direct our steps. The Spirit of God will do that if you prayerfully ask him to. And what it's saying in Galatians, how do you walk or dance in the Spirit? You do it three ways, and I broke it down with three A's. First of all, you have to acknowledge who the lead partner is, and that's the Spirit of God. And that's by praying, Holy Spirit, you're the one who needs to show me what to do. So show me what I need to do today. And then the second A is that we need to pay attention to his leading. So in obedience, as we are abiding close to Jesus and we are making decisions throughout our day, we want to pay attention to him and we want him to tell us what to do. We've got to have hearing ears so that we're hearing his leading. If God's giving us a prompting to maybe talk to the barber like Jason. If Jason wasn't paying attention to hear that, he would have missed an opportunity to invite this guy to church. And then the third thing, you got to acknowledge that you're following the Spirit of God. You got to pay attention to a moment when he needs your attention, and then you need the courage to act on it. Faith is an action of obedience to what God's truth says, what the Word of God says. Whether you feel like it or not, that's what you do. And so here is this little prayer that kind of summarizes, this is what it means to dance in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me a mind to know the right and the wrong here, and help me pay attention with an ear to listen to you and the courage to decide and follow through when you tell me to do something. That is a prayer to walk in the Spirit. And when you do that every day of your life, God's going to knock your socks off. And I wanted to just share this. I had this in my partners last week, and I didn't share it in the message. But I want to share it with you now. In the book, Drawing Near, Robert Morgan tells the story of a missionary, Jim Harvey, who's traveling to Sacramento. And as he's getting on his plane at Dallas, before the passengers board, the flight attendants make an announcement that a group of Russian immigrants are coming aboard, and that since they don't speak English, that if anybody would just avail themselves to watch carefully, they might need help. Now, in our heated world, especially in Texas, when you hear immigrant, you think illegals. And there are a lot of people who are going to fight their feelings about that. But the Lord spoke to his heart, wait a minute, these are Russian. He had the feeling that these weren't illegal immigrants. They were just people going through the process of learning to be in our country. So, Lord, help me not to have hatred and disdain towards them. And if you give me an opportunity, he told himself, to help these people, let me do that. So this family comes on. It was a husband, a couple kids, and a wife. And they come down, and guess where the husband's seated? Right across the aisle. And so he's like, I'll help you. And he got up and he helped and he made sure they could see which seat they were supposed to be in. They didn't know any English. And he sat back down and he didn't let it rest there. He said, Lord, you know, whatever, Spirit of God, whatever you need me to do, help me to have the courage to do it. And during the flight, he's like, you know, I got to get my Bible. So he stands up and he pulls his Bible out from above and puts it down. And the gentleman across gets up and he pulls a Bible out from above his seat and sits down. And he notices this is a Russian Bible. And so he opens his Bible and he reads Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am thy God. Be not afraid, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he thought, Lord, I'm going to look foolish, but I'm going to, he taps the guy and he points to the Bible. He hands his Bible over, and he can't read Russian, but the English numbers were the same, and he could figure out where Isaiah was. So he finds Isaiah 41:10, puts his finger down on it, puts it over on the, and just points to it and says, read that. And the man begins to read, and the man becomes overwhelmed. And he said in English, brother, God doing it for you. That is how you walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God by acknowledging, by paying attention to listen, and with the courage to act. That is how God helps you walk in the Spirit in a way that glorifies Him and brings blessing to other people. Don't you want that for your prayer life? Don't you want that for your life? Here's our principle. The vehicle for prayer is the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the method that God Himself has appointed for our keeping close because His presence is always in us. We need to prayerfully listen for His prompts. Abiding helps us keep an all-day attentiveness to the Spirit's presence so we can follow His lead with courage. So basically three things that help us in our prayer life, in staying closer, staying connected, and staying cleaner in Him, is just praying and abiding. If you don't know how to pray, ask God, Lord, help me to find somebody to pray with who will teach me how to pray. Even if you just do that, you're growing in your prayer life. And soak in the Word of God so that you know how to pray. Don't be afraid. Take a little time and pray with someone else out loud. And that'll help you pray out loud more. And soak in the Word of God so that you know the Word of God. So, and pay attention to what the Spirit is doing in your life, because He wants to do more than give you a stagecoach or put peanut butter on your bread. He wants to bless you in a great and mighty way. And if you are walking close with Him, He will use you in a great and mighty way. Amen. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you for your blessings. Holy Spirit, help us. Always pray your will be done so that whatever we ask may be done to honor you. Thank you, Jesus, for the abiding power of prayer. Help us to stay near the dance with you, to follow your lead and follow your step. Help us to bring to us great moments of insight and joy when we abide in you like this. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit each day. Keep our attention. Keep us hearing your leading. Give us courage to follow. Help us experience the joy of intimacy with you through your Spirit, that others too may know you too by how you're working through our lives. We pray this in Jesus, our heavenly vine. Amen.
Amen. Would you please stand?
Father, we do thank you. Grant us to walk closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.